Today I feel to share an important message with you, and that is to remind you that you are special and loved by God. It's important that you get this in your heart and that we as believers know that we have a Father who loves us, who believes in us, and not just believes in you, but sees you as something special. You know, and the world is full of people, and it's kind of hard to be special in the world. But in God's eyes, He sees your value, and He sees you as special, and He's here to walk with you and to help you to fulfill your call in life. If you don't believe that, if you don't believe you have a Father that loves you that much, it's easy to go through life and never really experience His care, His mercy, His grace, and just how beautiful of a walk of love and peace that He has for us every single day. You know, we can get lost in the crowd. Maybe if you go to a big church or a big crowd, you're just one of many. And it's easy to get lost in the crowd and feel insignificant. But when you realize that God is more than just God in heaven, but He's your Father, that He looks at you, He sees you, He watches you. It's much like when I go watch my kids either play sports or in the band at school. When I watch them, there's a crowd of people. But sure enough, when my kids come out, they're looking over in the crowd trying to spot me and their mom. And we see our kids in the midst of all the other kids. I'm cheering for my son and my daughter. And that's the way that God is for you. I know He's God for everyone, and He's the Father of every Christian. But truth is, He is your Father, and He loves you, and He believes in you. And I want to share a few verses today, but really, mostly I want to get this in our hearts. And I want to remind you just how special you are to God. That He's so amazing that He's able to take you, and in the whole world, all the people in the world, all around the world, in all the prayers and all the thoughts, He's able to single you out and stand with you and walk with you and believe in you and pour into you every moment of every day. And I don't want you to forget that, because otherwise you will take charge of your life and you'll try to make it and be strong for Him when really He wants to be strong with you. It's a shame how many Christians, and myself, I've done this in my past, fail to put my arm in His arm and lean on Him and trust Him. And I missed out on so much time of intimacy with Him where He wanted to help me and stand with me while I was too busy trying to please Him and offer Him time and effort. And the whole time He wanted to fellowship with me. We don't want to miss out on that. See, He is our Father. You're born of Him. Let me give you a few verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll just read verse 17 and 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. So you've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. So this is talking about the day you were born again. Now, that is a very important day of your history. I remember people would come to me and they say, oh, it's my birthday today. I would say, oh, man, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Facebook didn't tell me it was your birthday. I'm sorry. Happy birthday. And they go, well, it's not really my natural birthday. That's for a few months from now. But it's my spiritual birthday, the day I got born again. And I would kind of snicker and laugh and like, oh, that's nice. That's so cute. Yay. But now I realize how right they were and how uninformed I was about what happened when we were born again. For many of us, when we got born again, we didn't realize just how significant it was. That's the day that who I was born from, my natural family, my whole past, everything I was. That's the day I died. And that I was resurrected in newness of life and born again. I was born the first time of my earthly family, but born again the second time of my heavenly family. See, God actually became my Father. I'm actually born of Him, and so are you. And so when it tells us here that we are a new creation, old things have passed away, all things have become new, it's not just scripture, it's not just word to fill us, it's truth. You are a new creation. You're a new creature the moment you are born again. I want to go over here to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to see just how important we are. I remember my mom told me, she was always a working lady and a working family, and that's part of life sometimes, that everyone has to work. And she told me, she said, you know, I have a few regrets. I regret that I had to work so much to provide, and that I always had such a clean house. And what she was saying was, she'd come home from work, and she would focus on cleaning the house more than just spending time with her kids in a messy house. And time slips by, and you miss those moments. And she warned me. She said, Alan, when your kids are young, enjoy them and spend time with them. Embrace them and fulfill your life with them. And I always took that to heart, because you can learn without mistakes, you know. You can learn from other people's mistakes. So I always took that to heart with my mom and with my own family, with my own kids, to try to focus on spending time with them, because they grow up. Pretty soon they start their life. And life goes by quick. Well, I've always remembered that. And I remember just how much importance my mom reminded me to put on spending time with my children when they were young. Well, I'm going to tell you that in the reverse. Don't miss out on spending time with your Heavenly Father, because He cares about you. His greatest joy is to spend time with you. You know, there's times when maybe we make mistakes or we struggle and we're embarrassed in our lack of holiness, our lack of maturity. And so we want to get it straight before we come to Him. But that's what He wants to do, is to be with you in those moments. My son, when he was young, used to hug on me, and we'd wrestle, and he'd climb on me and hug me. And I'd get kisses when he was young, but soon he stopped giving kisses to his dad, and the hugs became less intimate, more manly hugs, you know. And he's 15 at this time, and he's taller than I am. Very proud of Harrison. And, you know, as the young man grows older, they give less affection to their parents. That's kind of normal. You know, I miss those times. But I remember there's a time in between where he had stopped giving me hugs and stopped needing me so much. And he would fall down and scrape his knee and hurt himself. And in those moments of pain and brokenness where he was hurt and maybe confused or lost and needed someone, those moments he would run to his dad and his mom and want to hug and want to be comforted and want to have reassurance that it was going to be okay. And I don't want you missing out on those moments. Those moments that you're broken, the moments you make mistakes or hard times happen and you feel lost, those are not moments to run away from God to try to get it straight so then you can come back to Him. Those are moments that He wants you and desires for you to run to Him so He can enjoy that fellowship of intimacy that you're offering to Him. You don't have to go through hard moments to offer that to Him. You can do it in good times. But unfortunately, like our own kids, we can lose track of intimacy when we're strong and when everything's going well. But we can do it by choice and not wait for hard times. But when you do go through a hard time, a difficult time, even ones that you maybe brought into yourself, those are moments that you want to run to God, because He's excited that you need Him. That's what He loves. He loves that you need Him. He loves that you have questions and concerns. I know you don't like it. I don't like it. Sometimes we want to be strong people of faith. But for Him, He's a Father. See, we have to realize He is your Father. Now, in chapter 15 of Luke, then all the tax collectors, verse 1, and the sinners drew near to Him and to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, This man received sinners and eats with them. So He spoke this parable to them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99? In the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. This moment of repentance and coming to Jesus is a moment of salvation. This is the moment that you become a new creation and old things pass away. It's a birthing. It's much like when a baby is born and everyone hovers around and looks and gets excited and talks and celebrates the birth of a baby, a newborn child of full potential. Who knows what that baby will be? Who knows what that baby can do? The whole life of that baby is in front of it. What a moment of celebration. And that's the way that heaven celebrated you when you asked Jesus into your heart. It wasn't just a moment of you came to church and now you belong to God. It was a moment of rebirth, a moment of being born and born again. That was what happened to you when you accepted Jesus. You were born again. You're a new creation. You started that day. That's the day that you started. That's why it's important that we celebrate that day, because that day was the day that heaven rejoiced. A new baby was born. The old past had died. The old you died, and the new you, the new child of God, who has God as your father. And I'm emphasizing being born today because I want you to realize God is your father. And that's why there was a celebration in heaven when you accepted Jesus. Not that you got to go to heaven as much as a new creation, a new person started the moment you were born again. God fathered you. You accepted him by faith, but he was able to birth you into the kingdom of God. And they celebrated saying, what potential this one has. What a great future is ahead of them. All things are possible. And not only with life, but do you know that you have someone called God who is behind you and with you and for you? He's able to think about you every moment of every day and care about you in what you go through every moment of every day. There's nothing that you go through. There's no thought, there's no worry, there's no concern about today, tomorrow, the future, that he doesn't want to jump in with you and say, it's going to be okay. We're going to make it through this together. Don't worry, I'm with you, I am for you, I'm not against you. How many in the church world are missing out on this beautiful relationship with God because they're so busy in life trying to make it? They're so busy in life trying to succeed, trying to be good, trying to be a good Christian. When the whole point, I heard one guy say, and I love it, said the point of life is not the ending. That's not the goal. The goal is not to get there to where you succeed. It's the journey. It's the walk to there. All that we learn, all that we experience, it's the walk there that's important. And so I don't want you so focused on trying to become a good Christian that you forget that the important part to God isn't that you become all that he wants you to be as much as that you walk with him becoming that. And that's the journey that he wants to be with us. And that means that every day on the great days of success, on the sad days of defeat, on the discouraging days, on the quiet days, on the happy days and loud days, he wants to be in there with you through all of that, through every part of it. I had an old preacher tell me one time, he said, "Alan, one day you're 17 and the next day you're 70. And I remember thinking back then, that was, 30 years ago, just about thinking, oh yeah, sure. Yeah. But he was right. Life goes by quick. Life can go by really quickly. And if you're not careful, you'll miss out on the most exciting thing about life, which is the journey of walking through life with the help of someone who believes in you and loves you and is for you, the help of your Heavenly Father. So he celebrated with you. In heaven, they had a celebration. in the old days, when I was born, they would hand out cigars. You know, all the men would sit out in the waiting room while the women had the baby and hand out cigars. You know, I know that's not probably not proper in the church world or in today's world, but that's how it was back in the day. And they would celebrate. Way to go, you had a son, you had a daughter. Way to go. And the whole community would get together and celebrate the family giving birth to a child. We have a new baby in the midst. Well, that's the celebration that happened when you were born. You were born into a family, the family of God. Well, God is your father. I'm your brother. God is our father. He is our father. And they celebrated in heaven when you and I accepted Jesus. Not just because we were going to heaven, but because we were born that day as a child with God as our father. You have a father who loves you, who birthed you and is for you. He's not interested in getting rid of you. He's not interested in turning his back on you. He's interested in you winning and you succeeding and you having victory. When my son plays soccer, I always cheer when our team scores a goal, but I cheer extra loud when my son scores a goal. And when our kids are playing in the band, we like the music, but when our kids play something, we make extra noise and cheer because that's when we take the photos. Christy takes a lot of photos of our kids and videos, and it's all zoomed in on our children while they're performing. Well, that's how God feels about you. He cheers you on. He's excited about your life and all the potential you have. You may feel that you don't have anything to offer, or you may feel that you're behind or that he's disappointed in you. Stop it. Just stop it. Tell your brain to shut up. That's not true. He is there for you. Even if you've totally messed up, he's there to help you to clean up, pick up, and move forward. He loves you. He is for you, not against you. There's another verse here in verse 8, 9, and 10 in chapter 15 of Luke. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is a joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's you. When you accepted Jesus, celebration happened with the angels. Rejoicing happened because you came to God and were born into the family of God. God is your father. Now, both my children are born again, but before they were, I was their father. I was their dad. Now, I am now still in the natural, but truthfully, technically, the day they got born again, God became their father. I became their brother because God's my father. See, I don't tell my children that. Otherwise, they would override me and say, well, my real dad, he told me I could do it. I know Harrison would right away pull rank on me every single time. So I don't quite teach him this yet until he's 18 or 19. And then I'll share some of this with him that really his father is God because he's been born of a new family. I brought him into existence, but God brought him into the family of God. And the day they accepted Jesus, there was a celebration. The angels celebrated and rejoiced because a baby was born. I remember my mom talks about how they were on vacation when I was born. I was born 2 months early, at 7 months. And they were on vacation and in Penticton, British Columbia, Canada. My mom gave birth to me and she said, you know, back then they put us pregnant women in a room until we went into labor. And back then they would all sit around and smoke cigarettes because you could smoke cigarettes. That was okay back then. And so she said we were all smoking cigarettes to all these pregnant ladies until she gave birth to me. But she said my dad was so pleased and so happy that I was born. And so was she. There's a celebration at my birth. And even though I was born 2 months early and caused trouble because I had to stay in the hospital for a few months, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from home, I think my dad had to travel back and forth just to see me between work time. They celebrated my birth. God celebrated your birth when you were born again. You have a Father who loves you, who has a plan for you, who thinks about you. Don't get so busy in life trying to please Him that you forget that His joy is to walk with you through everything, to celebrate your victories, to help bandage you up in your defeats and your brokenness. You know, life isn't easy for anyone. For some people, it can be a little harder than others. Life can throw great days and really bad days. And life can throw happy celebration days and sad, lonely days. In all of those days, though, He does not change. He is the same. In every day, He believes in you. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. He loves you. You're special to Him. You're not just one of a million or one of a billion. To Him, He looks across the world and He zooms in on you. And He cheers extra loud when you stand up, when you take the shot, or when you play the music, or you stand out. He cheers extra loud, even though you may look around and say, oh, there's people all around here. You should be like my children. I'd watch Harrison. He'd be running towards the ball in soccer. He'd be running his little legs, be going really fast, and while he was running to get the ball, he would look over to the sidelines to make sure I was looking at him and to make sure that I was paying attention to him. You know, and then he would go and take a kick. My little daughter, she would say, Daddy, Daddy, look at this. And I would be driving or doing something, and I go, oh, that's nice. And she said, no, Daddy, you didn't look. Daddy, look at this. Focus on me. She wanted my attention. Well, you're allowed to do that with God. God, Father, look at this. Look at me. He is for you. I want you to remember what I'm telling you. I want this to get into your heart so much that you don't have fear that He's abandoned you, fear that He is not pleased with you, so He's walked away from you. My children, they get in trouble all the time. They're, you know, Harrison's a teenager now, and Ava's almost a teenager at this time, and so they're pretty good at, you know, good trouble. The trouble I like mostly, not too bad, hardly ever disrespectful. But even when they're in trouble, I'm still their father, and they know it. They don't think that I'm going to get rid of them or kick them out or abandon them. Or they know that they can be in the most trouble ever, and they'll still expect me to feed them and love them. They know it. And God wants you to know it, how much He loves you, how much He believes in you. He wants you to hold that confidence in your heart, to hold that power in your heart to say, in my good days and in my bad days, in my victory days, in my defeat days, He never changes towards me. He's always my biggest supporter. I'm always gaining strength from Him. That when I have victory, He wants to celebrate with me. But also in my defeat, He wants to be there to help pick me up. In the days that I feel alone, He wants me to go to Him to find security. He wants to be that for me because He loves me. He loves you. I'm in Philippians now. Why don't you turn there? Philippians chapter 1. I think so much of the church world, we get so busy in trying to build the kingdom of God, we forget about the King. We try to establish the work of the gospel and do so much for God, and it's all good, and God's pleased with it all, but I don't want us to miss out on the most important part, that He wants to walk with you through it all. He wants you to put your arm in His arm and to lean on Him for strength, to lean on Him for answers, and not just try to be strong in yourself. I think because for many of us, we started out not knowing who we were in God, and what really happened to us when we were born again. That we started our relationship just trying to perform and trying to be good Christians, you know, to make it to heaven. You know, I wish I knew then what I know now, is that all those years of me trying so hard to be good and behave and perform for God, I was trying to give Him an offering of my good works And I was trying to do good. And in all those years of, in time that I missed out on knowing that He was there with me through everything. He was there with me, walking with me, to be a strength to me. And I could have leaned on Him more. I would have enjoyed my walk with Him so much more, knowing that He wasn't just there when I was doing good. He wasn't just with me when I was having a great day, but when I was having bad days and disappointed in myself, in my decisions, and more so back then, of course. But He was still there. He didn't abandon me. He didn't run from me. He was not afraid of me. Some people think God's ashamed of them. He's not ashamed of you. You're His child. He loves you. I would say it this way, not to be too anti-religious, but the day you were born, God handed out Holy Ghost cigars, and everyone celebrated that you were born into the family. I know God doesn't smoke, and we're not for smoking, but just go with me on that one. He celebrated, and the angel celebrated with Him that you were born in the family. So why would you think that He's not for you? Why would you think that you disappointed Him so much? Look at the families in the world. It's so funny, the families in the world, how families stick together. There's a mama for a child. When the child's, I've watched people whose children make big mistakes on drugs and making mistakes, and the mama is there fighting for that child's life, where the whole world have given up on them. Their friends given up on them, the friends and the bosses and the schools all kicked them out, and they've done used up everyone. Mama's still there trying to help them get through. You got a Father. He loves you. He believes in you. And He's always for you. He's never against you. He has plans for you and purposes for you and a vision for you. And He has a pathway for you to get there where He will help you get there. It's when we have the hard days and the lonely days when the devil comes or life comes and says, you fail too much. You're alone and all you're trying to figure things out. In all your questions, you got to figure it out. It's in those days of darkness, those days of disappointments. Those are the moments where He is waiting for you to run to Him. Say, Dad, I need your help. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how I'm going to get there. Those are the days that He's waiting for you to run to Him so He can embrace you and hold you and say, it's going to be okay. We will get through this together. Just don't give up. Don't quit. See, He believes in you. And then after a while, you get picked up and like, hey, I'm going to make it. You're going to make it. I'm in Philippians here. Oh, Philippians 1 and chapter 3, or chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God began a good work in you. Why would you think He's given up on you? Why would you even take a moment to think that He's not cheering you on or not walking with you? I know that we all struggle with commitment to God at some level during our life, where how much of my life do I let belong to God and how much do I live for myself and how much do I give to God, how much do I give to myself? And these are all multiple questions and decisions we make as we grow in God. And this is the experience that He's after. You may look at someone else and say, well, they're dedicated. I'm not. They're committed. I'm a failure. And so you disconnect from God. But even in your failure, He wants you to lean on Him and tell Him, God, I know you want more from me, but I'm not ready for it. I know you want, you'd be pleased with more prayer and more fasting and more of the Word and more commitment and more holiness. I know that you would be pleased with that. but I just don't want to. What do I do? See, though, that's a conversation you can have with him. You can have those types of conversations with him because he is wanting to finish the work that he started in you. He's wanting to see you shine and see you succeed. Those questions of commitment, the questions of holiness, the questions of yielding over to him, these are very personal questions that he wants you to have with him so he can help you to see the value of walking with him and how there's nothing more important in life than succeeding with what God has for you. I'm going to turn to another verse here. We're going to look over in Mark. And we'll start in Mark chapter 10. When I started with serving God, I was 18, and I jumped in full force into serving God. But really, I was doing more to serve the church than I was to serve God. And it was to please God, but it was more serving the church in the name of God. And I found that I had somehow connected my busyness for God with my relationship with God. So I was busy, busy, busy doing stuff for God, helping out in the church. We didn't know much about praying or seeking God on a intimate level at that time. But I knew how to give my time to God and my effort to God. And what I discovered was when I was having a busy week and a good week in the kingdom of God, I felt like a champion. I felt great. And I felt like I could ask God anything. But if I had a disappointed day, now, you know, I'm 18 years old at the time, and so I had some disappointment in my life, in my actions and in that. And but when I had a disappointing week or a slow week, a fleshly type week, I found that I didn't have confidence in God. I didn't have confidence that he was there for me. I didn't have confidence that I can go to him. And partly that's what I want to erase today in your heart, because it's taken me years for me to erase that wrong idea of relationship. It was an idea of relationship with my Heavenly Father that I had to be great and doing good before I could approach him. That I had to be successful and victorious before I could approach him. And if I wasn't, I would try to go clean myself up, bandage myself up before I would approach him. And I missed out on so many years of talking to God, fellowshipping with God, just enjoying that those moments where, you know, when you're broken and you have nowhere to go to and you feel like you're lost, and then all of a sudden you find hope, you find courage. See, those are the moments where you'll look, your heart begins to search and look around for where can I find hope? Where can I find answers? You try to find, where do I find it? Where do I find the courage to keep going? Where do I find the strength, the motivation to keep moving? And it's in those moments where if you take our heart, we'll search and search and search. But if we take it and search to him, he becomes your hope. He becomes your strength. He becomes your courage. He becomes your motivation. It makes you more vulnerable because you're now relying on him instead of yourself. You're now relying on him instead of others, instead of the world. He wants to be that with you. He wants to be your strength. That's why I say arm in arm. And what I found was I was happy being arm in arm with him when I was doing good. But if I was having a slow week, a bad week, a broken time, I would find myself disconnected from him. And it was never him. He never disconnected from me. But I disconnected from him because I didn't realize how much he loved me. And I didn't maybe have the understanding of he is with me in this moment. The moment I think, I've had people come to me and they say, you know, I had something really bad happen. in life, maybe someone passed away or a disappointment, lost a job, and I got angry with God, and I cussed God out. Do you think I committed the unpardonable sin? You think he'll take me back? You know, they're worried that they offended God because they were emotional. And in that moment of being emotional, they got angry at God for, you know. And I have to tell them, look, God's not touchy. He's not embarrassed that you called him all kinds of names or that you blamed him for something that wasn't his fault. He didn't move away. You didn't offend him. He goes, well, you're going to be angry at me? Then you're on your own. Try that, sucker. See how you do. You'll come crying back to me when you're ready. No, it's in those moments where he stands right there and says, I'm still here. I haven't moved. I still believe in you. He'll come right down to the depths of what you're going through. And I remember the story I love when, and I took Harrison swimming when he was a kid, and we took him to the YMCA for swimming lessons. And I can't remember the name. You have to forgive me. I don't remember the names of the age groups, but every age group had a name, like guppy, minnow, trout probably. And so they had, as you know, the older you got, the bigger fish you became. And he was at a certain age, and there was, I think the guppies, I don't know if the guppies were younger than the minnows or vice versa, but he was either a guppy or a minnow. And we'll say he was a minnow. And I put him in the class, and in his age group, he was behind on the swimming scale. He has less experience in swimming. And I felt for him because, you know, I wanted him to succeed. And so the little teenager girl, they had all these little kids in the pool and trying to get them to jump in the pool, get them to swim underwater, open their eyes, you know, all the things that you need to do when you swim and learn how to swim correctly. And Harrison was a little bit underexperienced. And I remember the little teenage girl came to me and said, Mr. Taylor, Harrison did a good job in his age group, but he's a little bit behind the other kids his age. And so I'm going to suggest that next week you take him to the younger age group and, you know, the guppies. You know, this is the middle class. This is, you know, but the year younger is, you know, they have less expectations on them. So he needs to become, and I said, little lady, my son's no guppy. I said, he's a minnow at least, and he's on the way to being a shark. And I said, we'll be here next week, and you'll be his teacher. And what I did during the next week and the weeks to follow was I took him to the pool himself. See, what he needed was time in the pool with his dad. And I took him, and I taught him how to swim. I spent time with him in the pool. And all week and the weeks to follow, we spent hours swimming, and I became his coach, and he didn't like some of the things. Jump in the pool, and because Harrison's the type where he learns more from other people sometimes. At the end of the whole session, he was the best swimmer in the whole class because he needed time with his father. That's what he needed. He needed time swimming with his daddy. And see, many people, when they see God, and they're swimming in the pool, and they're behind, or they're struggling, they don't know what to do, they don't know how to do it, they look up and they see God as a dad on the edge of the pool yelling at them, get it together, kid. I'm embarrassed that you're behind. You should be doing better. You should know more. Come on, get it together. Go for it. You should be doing better. Come on. See, that's the way they view their relationship with God, that they're swimming through life on their own, struggling on their own, trying to figure it out. And God's there yelling at them and disappointed in them. But that's not how he is. He's not that kind of father. He is your father. You were born a child of God. You did not exist. I know you have a past, but technically, you did not exist until your birthday, your born again day, the day you were born again. You're resurrected in newness of life. I'll show you. We'll come back to Mark another day, but let's go over to Romans 6. Let me just show you really quick. Romans 6, starting in verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Therefore, for if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, the day you ask Jesus in your heart, that's the day that you died, technically. The old person that you were born the first time actually died. And then he resurrected you and birthed you as a child of God. Born for the first time in his eyes, a child, his child, a child of God. He's your father. He is your father. He is your father. And he's not standing on the sidelines shouting at you, telling you to get your act together. When you get together, then come to me. He jumps in the middle of your mess. I don't care how ugly it is. I don't care how many people have left you, abandoned you, that you've disappointed. He jumps right in the middle of that pool of water of life and says, come on, my child. You just need time with your father. Let's go. He doesn't give up on you. He doesn't quit on you. He believes in you. He's for you. Get this in your mind. Get all doubt out of your mind that you're alone in this world. Get it out of your mind that you have to figure this out, that you got to be perfect. And get in your heart of hearts, I have a father who loves me, who's not embarrassed by me, who jumps in with me in the midst of life and is for me. He is for you. He's not against you. He believes in you. He made you, and he is about helping you to succeed. He is about walking with you. And when you're broken and when you're having a hard time, I know not everyone has hard times very often, but some people have hard times a lot. It doesn't matter how small it seems to other people. It's big to you. Your life is your life. It's big to you. And you're going through a hard time, you run to your father. He loves you. You're special to him. You stand out in the crowd to him. You may not think so, but he thinks so. And he's not only there for you when you're winning. He's there when you're struggling too. He doesn't change. He's always for you, not against you. You have a father who loves you, and you're special to him. I've hoped you've been blessed. Please get that in your heart. Let me pray with you before we finish. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful that we're not alone in this life, that we have someone who knows everything about us, our deepest, darkest secret, our deepest, darkest failures, our weaknesses. And you're still with us. You're still walking with us. You're still believing in us. You really do love us. So today I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. Help us to really, really, truly in our heart of hearts accept that we're not alone. Accept that you are our Heavenly Father. Help us to know it. Know it to the bottom of our heart. Help us to believe it. Help us to walk in it. Because you have only great things in front of us and success in front of us and a pathway for each of us to walk from where we are right now into your plans and purposes in our life, into holiness, into the purity, into sanctification. The pathway there, you're with us as much as you're there in the end. The journey there is with you by our side, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I pray your grace and your strength on each of us today as we walk closer to you every single day. We love you, Father, and we are so amazed at your love for us. We're in awe of your love for us, that we were the coin that you found. We were the lost sheep that you found. Thank you for loving us and abandoning all to rescue us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God loves you. I love you. And you don't give up. Great things are ahead.